President Trump calls this the best economy ever. Is it? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump addressed both houses of Congress last night and took what can be seen as a victory lap regarding America's place in the world and the state of the economy.
Tonight I stand before you to share the incredible results. Jobs are booming, incomes are soaring, poverty is plummeting, crime is falling, confidence is surging, and our country is thriving and highly respected again.
He said he was, quote, thrilled to report the U.S. economy is the best it has ever been. It needs to be said that average growth in the economy, as measured by gross domestic product during this administration, is much lower than it was under Presidents Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan. However, the president headlined the low unemployment rate. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now from Washington with some context on that.
Yeah, the president said the unemployment rate is at the lowest level in half a century. That's true. The president also talked about what he called a blue-collar boom.
Wages are rising fast, and wonderfully, they are rising fastest for low-income workers who have seen a 16% pay increase since my election.
But David, wages aren't rising as much as they normally would with an unemployment rate this low. And one reason blue-collar pay is increasing is local and state governments raise their minimum wages.
And the president also talked a lot about factory jobs, manufacturing. He said his administration was restoring manufacturing. Is that right?
Well, the president said the U.S. has gained 12,000 new factories under his administration. That number is off. The bigger issue is most of those factories employ five people or fewer, and the government has a very broad definition of what a factory is. And more traditional manufacturing has been in a slump, with the Institute for Supply Management reporting its manufacturing index fell for five straight months, although there was an increase last month.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. In that speech to Congress, we saw a president pleased with the economy, as we say, and America's global position. Today, the Senate will vote to keep Donald Trump in office despite impeachment in the House of Representatives. His approval ratings haven't been going up or down. What does that mean for the Trump administration moving forward now? Ian Bremmer is founder of the political risk consultancy called the Eurasia Group. Good morning.
Always good to be with you, David.
Now, the president last night spoke again of a blue-collar boom and the economy helping the bottom half of American incomes, not just the top. You've written about this, Ian. Does that mean the frustration, if not the anger of people that perhaps fueled the president's election, has subsided or will subside soon?
Has subsided a little bit. I mean, certainly we're not just talking about market growth numbers. Wages are up a little bit, even for middle and working classes now from where they were 3 years ago. And to be clear, there were no Dems back in 2016 that thought the U.S. economy under Trump in 3 years would be doing as well as it is right now. But let's keep in mind, it's on the back of these big tax cuts for the corporates and for the wealthy in the U.S., on the back of a lot of regulatory rollback, which is problematic long term, and on the back of trillion-dollar deficits. And the U.S. economy growing at a 2% clip, given all of that, is pretty anemic.
Do you think this is now a president that can get another tax cut through soon, sometime soon?
No. No, we don't think that's particularly likely, and we don't think he's moving anywhere on infrastructure either, given what has just transpired in the Senate. If you think that the Iowa caucuses were bad and created uncertainty and polarism, not even close to what we're going to see in November. And that, I think, is going to be important to markets, because they think that this election is, if it's Trump, if it's someone else, they think the risks are more about what happens if Bernie Sanders becomes president. They don't think what happens if the risks is for weeks or months, we actually don't know who's won. And it's really contentious and quote-unquote rigged. I think that's the more proximate risk.
Quote-unquote rigged, not rigged.
Certainly the perception of the losing side, irrespective, will be that, yes.
Ian Bremmer advises corporate clients on political risk as founder of the New York-based consultancy, the Eurasia Group. Let's check the market screens here. The FTSE index in London is up 0.6%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up between 7% and 0.8%. Crude oil up sharply, up 2.5%, $50.84 a barrel.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
This morning, we'll get numbers from the Commerce Department on the U.S. trade picture covering all of 2019. Economists are expecting that our annual trade deficit with the rest of the world will go down, which, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports, doesn't necessarily reflect good news.
One of the big stories in the U.S. trade picture last year was that imports fell dramatically at the end of 2019. Part of that, says Deutsche Bank economist Matthew Luzzetti, is the U.S. raised tariffs on Chinese goods at the time.
There's been a sharp decline in imports from China. In addition, you had the GM strike, which led to significant declines in imports of auto parts.
The Phase 1 trade deal with China in January should boost our imports of Chinese goods and American exports to China in 2020. But the overall American trade picture with the world? Here's James Watson at Oxford Economics.
Really, we're going to see the worst year for U.S. trade since the financial crisis. We're really expecting to see imports and exports pretty much stall,
which hurts consumer choice around the world. He says global growth is uncertain. And despite the initial trade deal with China, the U.S. still has a lot of tariffs in place. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.